question comes up, what about the resurrections? Is there just one general resurrection at the end of all time? Like a lot of our funeral services seem to indicate that. They're not the Bible. I don't really think it's biblical. There are different resurrections. There's only one, really, one kind of resurrection, and of course that's the resurrection of Christ. He's the first fruits. It's that resurrection that we will experience. People ask, what will the resurrection be like? Well, Paul addresses that. He says it's a real resurrection. It's a real body. It's transformed. It's like Jesus' body after his resurrection. But there are several resurrection events that began, of course, with Christ's resurrection, but there's a time interval between them. Certainly the resurrection of Christ, about 30 AD, we don't know the exact year maybe, but around that time. And then the resurrection of church-age saints at the rapture, if we believe what the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, we will be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be raised. The dead in Christ will be raised first, then we who are alive and remain. John speaks of that as how we will be transformed, translated, much like Enoch in the Old Testament. The Bible says he walked with God and was not, for God took him. So that's the resurrection of the church age saints at the rapture. That can happen at any moment. We believe that all of the signs are fulfilled. I suppose if there was one sign that maybe was not true in times past, and that the return of Israel to the land. Some dispute whether that's a sign or not, but certainly it sets the stage for the fulfillment of prophecy. Didn't Jesus say no one knows the day or the hour to be ready? Apparently at any time the rapture could occur. Then the resurrection of tribulation period saints, we're going to look at that in our chapter here, and Old Testament saints at the second advent. So there will be kind of a second wave, I guess, of resurrections. 7 years after the resurrection at the rapture. Now, the resurrection, of course, at the rapture would include those who have died in Christ, who have believed in Christ and have died. There are those who may ask, well, does that mean that they sleep in the grave? No, the Bible doesn't really teach that. It teaches, Paul says, absent from the body means present with the Lord. So when we die, according to the Scriptures, our spirit goes to be with Christ. But there will be this resurrection of the body at the time of the rapture, going back to the second resurrection mentioned up there, and then the resurrection of the tribulation saints. Again, this is all part of one operation of God. God is doing this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It began with his resurrection. And then there are these kind of different ranks or different intervals of the resurrection. The final resurrection of the unsaved dead at the end of the millennium. So at the beginning of the millennium, there are these the resurrection of the tribulation period saints and the Old Testament saints. And then the final resurrection will be of the unsaved dead at the end of the millennium. And I suppose during the millennium there will be those who perhaps have died in the millennium that will be raised at that time as well. God's judgments, judgment seat of Christ, you may have heard this term. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:10, which apparently occurs at the time of the rapture, or after the rapture of the church. We don't know maybe exactly when it happens. Now, people will wonder, well, what are we doing? Are we just orbiting the earth, kind of disembodied? Well, we won't be disembodied because there will be a rapture. I'm going to speak to that in just a moment, where I believe the church will be during that time. But then there's the judgment on Israel. It occurs immediately after the second advent. You may remember Jesus talking about separating the sheep from the goats. Apparently that's when Israel will be judged and the unsaved. There's some uncertainty maybe about that, but the unsaved of Israel at that time. And then the judgment on the Gentiles occurs at the same time. Judgment of the fallen angels. Remember in Jude 6, it speaks of these that were bound under chains under darkness, I think. And these will be judged after the millennium. Great white throne judgment will occur after the millennium upon the unsaved dead of all time, including the tribulation unsaved, who with Satan and his angels are cast into the eternal lake of fire. Again, I think there's a little bit of difference of opinion about the unsaved of Israel, but it would seem that when Jesus comes and separates the sheep from the goats, that'll take place at the beginning of the millennium. Well, the Messiah's 1,000-year reign is described in Revelation 20. John writes, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven having the key to the abyss. Now, what is the abyss? Well, let's read on here. It says that he holds in his hand a great chain. he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I really think the abyss is that place that is described in Jude 6, of where these sinning angels were kept. These were really bad angels. I mean, these were the baddest of the bad, I guess we could say. So bad that God had to chain them up under darkness, apparently in this place called the abyss. Now, it may be a place here on earth. It could be some other part of God's universe. We don't know where it could be, maybe a black hole. I don't really think it's hell. I think it's this place where these evil angels are incarcerated. And Satan is thrown in, bound with a great chain, much like what Jude says in Jude 6 about these angels that sin. Many believe that it goes back to the time right before the flood, and that caused this great corruption of the earth before the flood. You know that the angels or the demons are fallen angels. These are created beings who rebelled. According to Scripture, there were a third of the angels, and there are myriads of the angels. I mean, I don't even know whether you can count them, but a vast number of these evil angels. Now, it doesn't say anything about the other demons. Do you have any thoughts about that? Could well be that the demons are included there with the devil, locked up with the devil during the tribulation period. Now, we might wonder, why does God plan to do that? Well, maybe, as some have suggested, to show the sinfulness of the human heart where the tempter is not present. In other words, to show that, like Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We can't really blame the devil for our sins. We are sinful, and the devil may be very influential, and he is very influential. Certainly, he's described as the accuser of the brethren. Apparently, this will not take place during that time either, this 1,000-year reign. I believe the purpose of which is to fulfill God's covenant promises to Israel, having a Davidic king sit on the throne, and not only reigning over Israel, but all the earth, and of course that king being Christ Jesus. After the 1,000 years are ended, it says he must be set free for a short time. Yeah, why? Well, why didn't God just keep him there? So the conditions will really be ideal, won't they, for serving Christ? I mean, no one will be able to say, I didn't know that he existed. I didn't know that who he was, or I would have worshipped him. I didn't know that he died on the cross for me. Those kinds of questions that I think we've probably all had at one time. Yeah, I like that explanation. I think it'll be his last gasp. Maybe it's needful for God to show how evil he really is, and how wicked the human heart is, and how much we need God to reign in our, not just over us, but over in our hearts. But its place, the millennium, will take place on earth, won't it? It will be up in heaven. There will be peace, sort of an enforced peace, until the very end. And then we're told that the devil will be loosed. I think loosed in order to judge him, and to ultimately throw him into the lake of fire. It's Prince, of course, Christ, not the devil. Christ, the devil will be bound during the millennium. But at the end of the millennium, now whether it's when exactly 1,000 years are fulfilled, or whether right at the very end of that 1,000-year period, he will be released. And John writes, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast nor his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. Now this apparently is at the beginning of the millennium. Or on their foreheads or on their hands. Now does this mean that everyone who received the mark of the beast will be damned? So there's no offer of grace. I mean, this is the age of grace, isn't it? This period coming is not the age of grace. So those who have worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands were raised. Well, it says, I saw the souls. Or they came to life. It does say they were raised. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Apparently, these are the tribulation saints. Now, this is an artist's portrayal. I don't think it's that good, really, of the New Jerusalem. And I really think this is where we're going to be during the millennium, the tribulation period. I think it's up there now somewhere. Whether it's viewable in the physical universe, I can't say that. But certainly God is preparing it. We can say that much. And it may well be that, as I think Pentecost believes, that it'll be visible over the earth. Maybe not during the, not now certainly, but maybe even during the tribulation period. Now that's, I'm sure it would cause all kinds of concern about, you know, whether this object's going to hit the earth or something. But apparently this, a beautiful, I think it's much more beautiful than that, apparently transparent, like a jewel in the sky, with the streets of gold. You'll see the pearly gates there. I'm not sure they will look like that. I think those are more like the gates themselves are pearls. There are 12 foundations of that city. Each of the foundations bears the name of one of the apostles. The gates bear the names of the patriarchs of Israel. But we will be there, we who know the Lord Jesus. So that will be our, I don't know that we'll be confined to there. Certainly, the Bible speaks of going in, coming in, and going out of there. I think certainly eventually that will be come down to earth. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. We'll look at that as we go along here. But if we could read on, verse 5. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection, blessed and holy. Now, the first resurrection would be the resurrection of the saved, wouldn't it? Because it says, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. Prophetical, then political. Again, the nature of the millennium. We're thinking about the millennium. I'm not sure that people will live 1,000 years. But I don't think it's going to be like it was before the flood yet. The earth will be substantially the same as it is now. But there are those who may think, is it going to be like it was back in the old times before the flood when people lived 1,000 years? I don't necessarily think that. There will be people that will live and die during this millennial period. It'll be much like today, except Christ will be here. And the devil will be bound. It'll be a period of relative peace. I don't think there will be wars because the Lord will not permit it. But at the end, 1,000 years, again, whether this comes, you know, 2 years short of it or whatever, I mean, it'll be at the end of this millennial period, we would, you know, we could say 1,000 years, or when the 1,000 years are over, it says in verse 7, Satan will be released from his prison. So I would take it to mean 1,000 years, and then there's this rebellion, which may be for some period of time, although I don't think it would take a lot of time to gather the nations from the four corners of the earth. It says Gog and Magog. Now, what are Gog and Magog? I've read some studies about Meshach, I think some many believe is really Moscow. Tubal, I think, Tobolsk, I think there's a Russian city by that name. Gomer would be Germany. So I think Northern Europe and European Russia at least. And it could just mean the nations. The Gentile nations, these were descendants of, I believe, Japheth. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. So it's going to be a population of similar to our population today, if not more so. Maybe more, because conditions will be, you know, really ideal. There won't be wars to kill people off. I kind of think there will be some who will be saved during that period of time, because it speaks of after the release of the devil. They will go out and deceive the nations, and they will gather them for battle. They marched around the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. But apparently a very small minority. It doesn't seem like there's a vast number of people saved during the millennial period. It doesn't seem like this is really the purpose of it. Maybe to show the wickedness of man, the rebellion of man. And they will be saved by obedience to the law. Those who are not obedient will be cut off. In the Old Testament, we have some glimpses into the rebellion of Satan and the hatred that Satan has in his heart for God, and maybe to show really how evil rebellion is, and just to wrap everything up, we can try to reason this out. I think ultimately God has his purposes that are slowly ripening. They may not, you know, ripen as soon as we might like, but he's certainly the same God. He desires that all be saved and to come to the knowledge of repentance and the knowledge of salvation. Yeah, I put a quote up there. The Old Testament held forth a national hope which will be realized fully in the millennial age. The individual Old Testament saints' hope of an eternal city will be realized through resurrection in the heavenly Jerusalem, where without losing distinction or identity, Israel will join with the resurrected and translated of the church age to share in the glory of his reign forever. The nature of the millennium as the period of the test of fallen humanity under the righteous reign of the king precludes the participation by resurrected individuals in that testing. Thus, the millennial age will be concerned only with men who have been saved but are living in their natural bodies. The heavenly city will be brought into relation to the earth at the beginning of the millennium, and perhaps it will be made visible above the earth. It is from this heavenly city, that's that picture that I showed you, is really kind of an artist's portrayal. It is from this heavenly city that David's greater son exerts his messianic rule, in which the bride reigns and from which the rewarded Old Testament saints exercise their authority in government. Well, we're going to look at that next time, the lake of fire. We'll look at that chapter 21 next time, Lord willing. Well, we did, it does say there at the end of chapter 21, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So exactly where this lake of fire is, I mean, there are different opinions about that. Some think it could be the here on earth. I mean, it's possible. I mean, we know the core of the earth is molten, and it would seem like it's about to explode now. There are other, I mean, certainly our sun could be described as a lake of fire. I think Pentecost mentions this phenomenon of the dwarf star, which is a star that has collapsed under its own weight and from which no, kind of like a black hole, but which from which no light even can escape. And there do seem to be these places in the universe. It could be that God has prepared this place already for the devil and his angels and all who reject salvation. Death and Hades, it says, will be thrown into the lake of fire. A good motivation, I think, to warn our loved ones, friends, and neighbors. I think it'll give us more compassion for people when we realize this is their destiny. If they do not come to Christ while it is still this age of grace.
At the con-